Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This is a day that the Lord has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. The sun is shining, a little cool, but the sun is shining and we're glad about it. And God has shown us favor by allowing us to live one more day. One more day to love and to share with each other, to be here. And I love this time of year, Advent season. This is the second Sunday of Advent. And we are going to welcome all of those who are here in the chapel. Good to see you, Judy. And those of you who are watching on Channel 15, I know Cliff, I know you're watching. Mr. Fletcher, I know you're watching. I want to greet you on the top of the morning. I've been upstairs already to say hello to them. So you know we've had a little one-on-one already this morning. But we're looking forward to what the Lord is going to do for us in this service. Let us begin our services as we usually do with our opening sentences. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
This morning we're going to begin singing our songs with O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. This is the appropriate song for the season. Let me get it for you. Those of you in your rooms, if you know it and can hum it, fine. If not, just sing it in your hearts with us. On your insert, we'll let Frank get in place. Don't hurry. We're going to wait for you. Okay. We ready? Okay. Here we go. Oh, come on. God with us, and his name is wonderful, and we glorify his name. So we're going to sing this song, Glorify Thy Name, Father, Son, and Spirit. We worship and adore you. Father, we love you. worship and adore you. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth. Jesus, we love you, we worship and adore you, glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name, glorify thy name, glorify thy name in all the earth. Spirit, Spirit, we love you, we worship and adore you, glorify thy name in all the earth. Glorify thy name, glorify thy name, glorify thy name in all the earth.
And we glorify him by telling him that we love him, by living for him. The next song is a prayer song, personal. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord. We're not singing it to each other. We're singing it to the Lord. It's like a lullaby. I love you, Lord. I lift my voice. Can't lift anybody else's voice, can we? But we can lift our own. It is the only sacrifice we can bring to the Lord, and it's our praise and our love. Let's sing this to the Lord. I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound. One more time. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what sound in your ears. And that is our prayer. And as Sylvia continues to play softly, I'm going to go over and light our Advent candle. Sorry, you can't see it on television because I can't manipulate the camera and do all this, but I'm going to go over and light the Advent candle, second Sunday in Advent. When I come back to this spot, we're going to do our unison prayer. Let us pray together. Stir up your power, O Lord, and with great might come among us And because we are sorely hindered by our sins, let your bountiful grace and mercy speedily help and deliver us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. At this time, I'd like to ask if there are any prayer requests. I know there are a number of names that I have to call. So if there are names that you'd like to call out loud this morning, this is the moment. Do so now. And if you don't want to call them out loud, hold them in your heart. God knows your mind.
Yeah. I feel blessed to be December 1st, 61 years old. I'd like to say prayers for the mission again.
Okay.
Prayers for you.
Thank you.
Prayers for this congregation. You have been in my mind. I haven't been here. But, gosh, I miss you guys.
Well, welcome back. We're glad to have you back. Okay.
This is my friend Craig. He's from the mission.
Welcome, Craig. I hope you come again. Merv, Buck, and Darrell, and Jimmy. Okay.
I'd like prayer for my wife, Irene.
Irene?
Cancer.
Okay.
My husband, Jerry, for cancer, and John Peterson, who's having surgery tomorrow.
Okay. Good. For Troy Johnson?
And for Evan Meddy.
Evan Meddy?
And Mike Schilling.
Mike Schilling?
And Travis
Gonder and family. For Will? For all of those that are in P-Trip and for... Okay.
I'd like to pray for all the troops that are fighting for us in Iraq.
Amen. We always remember them in prayer, yes. I want to pray for Mr. Fletcher, especially. I want to pray for Cliff Ransom, again, who's always dear to my... They're all dear to my heart, but we've been making this trek, and God has been blessing us all the way, and we're grateful for every day and every moment, all the way. I want to pray for those in the Blind Center, those that are in... Med-Surg ICU, third floor, intermediate ICU on second floor. For those that are in, all of the patients in hospice, just not the names that I call, but every patient there. And I'd like to pray for those who attend their care, the doctors, the nurses, the attendants. Everybody is involved. We're all in this together, aren't we? And we're helping each other along the way. And this is what God wants us to do. Frank and Jane and the family. And for Sylvia, I want to pray especially for her. For all the troops that are still in harm's way, Iraq and Afghanistan, those who have come back hurt and maimed, those with PTSD, which is a menace now, it's a big deal. And for those who are the veterans who are homeless, who are living under bridges and in boxes and things and have no one to care for them and no food and no shelter on their heads, it's very cold. And I think about them daily. We just pray that God will somehow make a way and take care of them. And for all needy people everywhere, and we're all needy people, everybody that inhabits the planet is needy of something. And so we pray for ourselves as well. Let us look to the Lord in prayer, and Sylvia, play softly. Blessed Lord, we thank you for the wondrous privilege that you give us. We come to you letting you know that we care for you and that we trust you. If we didn't trust you, we wouldn't even come. We know that you're good because your faithfulness you've shown already. We ask today that you would hear our heart cry, that you would know that we come to you as humble as we know how, knowing that we are needy people. We don't do things all right all the time. But we come to you confessing that there have been things that we should have done that we didn't do, and there have been things that we've done that we should not have done. And for these things, we want to ask forgiveness. Ask that you would restore us in this moment of prayer, in this moment of worship, to a place closer than ever with you, that we may walk this journey with you. We ask today that you would bless all those names that have been called here, and then there were some that were not called. We pray, O God, that you would touch with your light of love. Touch, O God, with that peace that you give. We ask that you would give supply to those that are needy, those that need food, supply, O God, those that need peace, those that need relationships restored. We pray, O God, for those that are waiting for you to call them home, that you'd give them that peace and that rest. We ask today, O God, that you would visit us with the power of your Holy Spirit. Speak words of truth from your word, O God, that will instruct us, encourage us, and lift us up where we belong as your children. And Lord, if there's anyone who does not know you today, we pray that they would come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. As we speak your words of truth, We ask all of these things in the strong name of him who died for us. And now we pray the prayer that he taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. On the front side of our insert is our responsive reading from Luke chapter 2. It's NIV translation. I will read the fine print. You read the bold print. We'll do the last one together. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night.
An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified.
But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.
Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord.
This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger."
Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying,
"Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men and women on whom his favor rests." The word of the Lord, for which we are grateful. Our song of preparation today is Thy Word, and you'll find the words on your insert. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When I feel afraid, think I've lost my way, still you're there right beside me. And nothing will I fear as long as you are near. And please be near me to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. I will not forget your love for me, and yet my heart forever is wandering. Jesus, be my guide and hold me to your side, and I will love you to the end. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Spirit of the living God, breathe now on each one of us. Speak your words of life and power through these lips of clay, that we may be blessed and you may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning, our message is entitled, Called to be Fearless Amid a Fearful World. Called to be fearless amid a fearful world. We know that the government, the politicians and the insurance companies and all kinds of people use fear tactics to make us afraid, to get us to make decisions that we wouldn't otherwise make. Fear tactics are used all over the world. And so this message is so timely Life with all its turmoils is an opportunity to witness to God's love and peace. Life in this world is filled with things that would scare us to death. Wars and rumors of wars. Illnesses that we can't do anything about, no matter what. Tragedies happen all the time. You say, but these are things that would make human beings afraid. And yet, we're told not to be afraid. Our witness will be irresistible when we realize that God keeps us completely safe, no matter what situation we're in. The many events of our life are so easily get us pulled in the wrong direction, in this direction and that direction, and we lose heart. But when we remain anchored in the heart of God, rooted in God's love, we have nothing to fear, not even death. And every joyful thing, and every painful thing will give us the opportunity and the chance to proclaim the kingdom of Jesus. Everything you go through, Travis, is a predicament provided for us to what? For you to show that God is able to get you through it. We are called to be fearless people in a fearful world. John, our text, comes from the 14th chapter of John, that 27th verse. You've heard it many times, but listen to it again. He says, Jesus said this when he was getting ready to leave. He said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. And so our prayer this morning and every morning should be, what? Lord, help me to live ever more fully in the awareness of your healing presence so that fear does not rule me. Do you know that fear paralyzes you? There is a good fear, the kind that makes you concerned and gives you an alert that something is dangerous. Maybe there's a, you know, there is a certain kind of fear that is healthy fear. We're talking about just being afraid, riveted to your seat because you're afraid to move, because you're afraid of this is going to happen. What the what ifs? The negativity in life. How may we live this way, you may ask? How may I live? How can I live fearless in the midst of a fearful world with so many things to frighten me? Number one, accept and know your identity as a child of God. Accept and know your identity as a child of God. If you belong to the Lord, if you've accepted his finished work at Calvary, if you know that you're his, this promise is for you. It is not for the person who does not know the Lord. They have reason to be afraid. But if you know the Lord Jesus Christ for yourself, if you've accepted him, if he is Lord of your life, then this is for you. You don't have to be afraid. Number two, know and rest in the promises of God through Jesus Christ. If you know what they are, then you can call on them. You can do that self-talk. You said, I didn't have to be afraid. You said in your word that I could trust in you and that you'd be there for me. You said that you'd never forsake or leave me. You told me not to be afraid. You do the self-talk. How often do you do it? As often as you need to. Three, exercise unwavering trust in God no matter what. No matter what. In the face of adversity staring you in the nose, right nose pressed up against the wall, trust him anyway. And it is that obstinate faith and trust, that unwavering, I'm going to trust you anyway. God honors it every time. Not sometime, but every time. But you won't know until you try it. Once you've tried God and he's brought you through, your faith will replace that fear. Jesus left us something that money can't buy, and that's peace. Peace that surpasses all understanding. The peace of conscience that arises from a sense of pardoned sin and reconciliation with God that only Christ can give because he bought and paid for it with his own blood. Peace, not as the world gives, not selfishly, nor sparingly, or for a short period of time, but his gift is forever, all the way from earth to glory. So why, then, should a Christian be afraid? Why should we be troubled? Millions over the centuries have been comforted and strengthened and fortified with the words from this passage from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 33:27 says, "The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." The eternal God, who changes not, who has all power in heaven, hell, and the grave in his hands. Underneath us are his everlasting arms. This passage illumines and exposes the emotional holes in our lives. And it assures us that there is a bottom to all of this that we're going through. There's a reason. We don't just get sick and go through things and troubles and things for nothing. No, no, no. God is busy making something. The maker of heaven and earth is working on us through everything we experience. We need to know that directly underneath us are the everlasting arms of our loving and faithful God who changes not. The problem is that we don't feel the arms until we fall. It is said that we are born with two fears, fear of loud noises and the fear of falling. It takes faith in the one who created us and loves us unconditionally to make us to let go of the reins of our lives and trust God completely for everything. It is human nature to kind of wince and hold on. But when we know by faith that God has said, "I'm with you always. You're not in it alone. Underneath of the everlasting, let go. Fall into his arms." Therefore, when the emotional demands get too intense, I allow myself to drop into the loving and warm arms of the Lord. I do whatever it takes to get me to that place spiritually, where I can let go and totally relinquish it, all, everything, knowing that underneath me I'm supported by the everlasting arms of God. Isaiah wrote, "For this is what the high and lofty one says, he who lives forever, whose name is holy. I live in a high and holy place, but also with those who are contrite and lowly in spirit." Isn't that something? That's us, isn't it? Mm. Yeah. "Revive the spirit of the lowly." To revive the spirit of the lowly. To revive the heart of the contrite, Cliff. Isaiah 57:15. Read it for yourself. It's good to remind ourselves of this when financial strains assault our security. Underneath are the everlasting arms. When circumstances and relationships are strained to the max, underneath are the everlasting arms. When the needs of others have pushed us beyond the point of our ability to cope, let alone to serve, underneath are the everlasting arms. When I feel I just can't take anymore, period, I tell myself, underneath are the everlasting arms. I want to ask you this question. In what ways do you hang on as if all of life's problems and circumstances depend on you? This is not for you to answer me. These are rhetorical. In what way do you hang on to those? What are some of the reasons you hang on instead of letting go and dropping into the security of God's everlasting arms? And number three, how can you learn to trust him enough? The operative word here is enough. How can you learn to trust him enough to let down your guard and rely on the promises that underneath are the everlasting arms? There's something to think about. I'd like to just share with you the words from Psalm 91. It says, He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and fortress, for my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you will find refuge. And faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes to see the punishment of the wicked. If you make the Most High your dwelling place, even the Lord who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent. For He will command His angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up on their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Because He loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me and I will answer. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. The long life, with long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's Psalm 91. God has promised to take care of us, each and every one of us, if we trust him. And so why should we be afraid? Think about it. There's no reason to be afraid. But we do have to confront it when it pops up. It didn't say you wouldn't get scared sometimes. It just says your response to that is what? I trust the living God. I'm a child of the King. I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ in the kingdom. I don't need to be afraid of anything. That's why Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. We have to do that yet praise. Nevertheless praise. Firm. Can you imagine how invincible you become when you decide it's a decision? I'm not going to be afraid. I don't want to go there. That's what we have to tell ourselves. Not going there. This is frightening, but I'm not going there. You confess it, and then you respond to it like a child of the living God. We're somebody because of whose we are. Amen? Amen. And so resolve today. We're going to be fearless in the midst of a fearful world because of whose we are. There's a precious song that I'm going to do for you this morning that really ties this message up with a nice, beautiful little bow. I love the words of it because when I first started here as a chaplain, and I would be walking up and down the halls when I was called in at maybe 1 and 2 o'clock in the morning to come back. I was on call, and there's nothing more gory sometimes than walking up and down hospital corridors in the wee hours of the morning and nobody's around. And you know that you're going to somebody by the side of someone who's going to meet the Lord. And this is a song that I would hum. And sometimes when we get afraid, there needs to be something that we know about that settles us, that focuses us, that anchors us. This is one such song for me. Listen to the words. You shall cross the barren desert, but you shall not die of thirst. You shall wander far in safety, though you do not know the way. You shall speak your words in foreign lands, and all will understand. You shall see follow me, and I will give. If you pass through raging waters, in the sea you shall not drown. If you walk amid the burning flame, you will not be harmed. If you stand before the power of hell and death is at your side, no. So be not afraid. I go before you always. Come, follow me, and I will give you rest. Again, Jesus said that, be not afraid. I go before. Not sometimes. Come follow me, and I will give you rest.
Peace be still.
Thank you, Lord, for a powerful word, for the assurance that regardless to how the earthquakes or wars or famine, sickness, and even death, you have told us that nothing can separate us from your love. We're standing on that today. Lord, we make a resolution in our hearts. We're going to respond to fear with faith. Faith in you, because you've promised and you can do anything but fail. Help us today to walk away from this place strengthened for whatever is before us, life or death, joys or sorrows, whatever it be, we will not be afraid, because you've told us that you're with us, that underneath are the everlasting arms. We give you thanks and we give you praise through Jesus Christ our Lord. And everyone says together, amen. God bless you and have a wonderful, wonderful week.